very good evening to you, faithful listeners of Life Lessons and faithful listeners of Eagle FM, of course. And this is Life Lessons. Now, you know, run about this time when you hear the voice of Toby Mac speak live, you know, I am just run about the corner here to keep you company on this beautiful Saturday. Wonderful Saturday indeed. Beautiful weather. I hope you people are doing well. I am doing well myself. And of course, tonight we're talking about something very interesting, something very dear to my heart also. And I think something very important. Yeah, career guidance. And I think it's very necessary that we talk about it now while we are in November, yet to then speaking about it just in January already, when I think you've already made that choice. Yeah. So, of course, tonight we're talking about career guidance, and I'm joined in studio by somebody who I think really is the best candidate to use this case study on. So I'm talking about Dr. Bonnie Singu. A very good evening to you, Dr. Bonnie Singu, and welcome to Life Lessons.
Good evening, Dafa. Thank you very much for inviting me to this program. Good evening to all our viewers across the nation. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you this evening.
Yeah. Now, Doc, I think you be the one to introduce where I'm calling you Doc. Yeah? Are you a medical doctor?
No, I'm not a medical doctor, but I'm a doctor in philosophy.
Yeah.
Which is what they short term for PhD.
Mm-hmm.
It's a qualification you attain after many, many years of reading and proving hypotheses and trying to find out new knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and finding out solutions to some problems, some very serious problems facing humanity. So those many years of studies, if you are registered at an institution of higher learning and you pursue it with diligence, that's how you obtain the Doctor of Philosophy, which is more really, you know, philosophy means
love of knowledge. And a doctor of philosophy is simply someone who has demonstrated that desire for knowledge. You have read through and you have done work to contribute to the body of knowledge out there. So I am that type of medical doctor, but I am also in the field of health. I am a trained pharmacist. I have practiced pharmacy in hospitals and community pharmacy in regulatory pharmacy and other spheres of pharmacy. So I am in the health profession as well.
Mm-hmm.
What is interesting is the title doctor. You see, where I studied in Kenya, there, once you get your bachelor's in pharmacy, the authorities there grant you the title doctor as well. You're a doctor of pharmacy. So what happens is that your title becomes doctor, although you are a bachelor. So you're not a medical doctor, you're a pharmacist, but your profession allows you the title. In the US as well, where they have the PharmD, which is the doctor of pharmacy, pharmacists mm-hmm. also carry the title doctor, although they have not reached the level which I am at, doctor of philosophy, PhD. But the profession gives them that title. Mm-hmm. Am I talking too much already? We are just beginning.
It's okay. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think first and foremost, let's give, the listeners background. Let's give us some background. Who is Bonnie Singu? Where did you grow up? How was school like when you were in school? And also, I think friends wise, that's before you come in now to go to university. How was that like? And how's your growing up, your upbringing?
Yeah. So my name is Bonifacius Siyuka Singu.
Okay.
I was born at Mpungu village in Kavango West in 1985.
Doc, you have to go. Okay, cool.
Yeah, in 1985.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is important because I have to show the history, you know. That is 5 years before Namibia gains its independence.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in as a village very close to Mpungu, where I was born, in Mpungu constituency. It's called Mukekete. Mukekete is 17 kilometers west of Mpungu on your way to Okongo. Just when you are about to get to the border to Ohangwena from Kavango West,
okay.
That is where my village is.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I remember very vividly my childhood. just around the ages of 4 and 5 when I was growing up. I grew up with my grandparents at that village. I remember at that tender age, we were the ones tasked to herd the goats. We were the ones tasked to make sure the cows are taken care of when they're separated from the cows so that we get milk every morning. I remember very well the chores were given in the house to make sure there's water and so on. Yeah, and I remember the first day when I came to school. Yeah, I remember how it happened very clearly.
Really?
Yes, I do. So what happened was me and my grandma and my grandpa were coming from Pungu. They had taken me to the clinic. You can see one of the videos I posted on my Instagram. Lately, I went to visit that clinic and just to demonstrate what the government has done to develop it. So Dr. Bonnie Singu on Instagram. Mm. So they had taken me to the hospital and we're coming back from the hospital and we're just walking now into the village. And before you get to our homestead, you pass the school, which is like a kilometer away from our homestead. And school was going on. And there were other children already attending the school. And the teacher, who is still well and alive in Pungu there, came out of the school, the yeah. classroom, mm-hmm. and ran after my grandma, my grandpa, and myself and said, hey, stop, stop. And then he came to us and said, how old is this boy? And they said, he's about 5 years old. They said, no, he should start school. He should start school.
Oh.
And they said, okay, he can come. So that is how I started school. And
interesting.
The school was a very, very humble structure. It was simply a shed made out of logs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the side, the structure was wooden completely, and logs of trees were put around it to just make sure there's shelter for the children. And at the top, there's just like thatch. And then inside, when you walk into the school building, which is the only thing that is the school, that there are no swings outside, no
yeah.
merry-go-rounds or anything like that. Just that structure itself is the school. When you go inside, there are no chairs as you know them today in schools, in the modern schools we have in our country.
Mm-hmm.
It was simply logs of wood that had been cut and they line them up one after another. The first log, which is at the very front, is the smallest children. The one after them is the ones who are slightly bigger. The one after them is the bigger ones. So all the children of the community attend school simultaneously in the same place at the same time, and they are being taught by that same teacher at the same time. And the mm-hmm. teacher differentiates and gives his attention to the different classes as he sees fit. So he'll be teaching the smallest ones, maybe showing them pictures and so on. Then he moves to the bigger ones and teaches them A, B, C, D, yeah, then moves yeah. to the bigger one, teaches them 2 times 4 at the same time. And school goes off at the same time, everything. So that is how I started my schooling. Yeah. And I can tell you that because of perhaps that kind of environment and yeah. the way I put my first foot into education, mm-hmm. I really didn't appreciate school. I didn't really like understand what is this school all about.
Yeah.
No idea at all.
It was so much.
Yes. And we had, I remember now it's problems now because when grandma would prepare the food and everything, go to school, me and my cousins would not go to school. We would simply diverge into the bush, enjoy the wild fruits and play and then wait for the other ones. When we see they are coming up from school, we'll also join them and go home. And they ask you, what did you learn today? We'll just say, no, we learned math or we learned reading or whatever, but we were really missing school.
Mm.
And the day that changed my life was when one day we did this divergence from the, from the usual path to the school. And we went into the wild to eat our fruits and play. We bumped into one of our relatives, who is passed on now, but a cousin of my grandmother.
Yeah.
And he told us, yes, you boys, I'm going to report you. And he reported us to our grandma. And the next day, Grandma walked us 2 kilometers from home to the school with a whip. And
wait, she didn't whip you at home?
No, all the way she was talking and whipping and talking and whipping and beating us until we got to the school. And water was coming out of the eyes, water was coming out of the nose. And that's how we embarrassingly joined the class that day. And from that day on, I cannot say I bunked school or ran away from school or missed school anymore. That is actually how I think I can humbly say how I started my real education journey to where I am today. Thank you very much for finding that very interesting.
So from there, you made a vow to never bunk school again.
Yeah, sort of, yes. Yeah.
It's very interesting. Okay, but yeah, you know, you remind me of some kids in my location. I realized at the time our gate didn't used to close. Mm. So there was this boys that one was actually big. I think he was in no. He was probably grade 7, and the other ones were grade 1s and 2. Ne? So they would come and hide their bags behind my house. So one day before I went to work, I don't know what I went to do behind my house within my compound, only to see school bags. And I later realized it's them. Oh, and another time I actually found them standing there waiting for everybody to go in. Their parents probably go to school or to go to work so that they can go into the wild, you know, in the street and do other things. And I told them, if I ever find you here again, I'll report you to your parents. I should have gone extreme like you probably, like your grandmother did, but nonetheless. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, moving away from primary school, and now to high school and then later on to university. Mm-hmm. How was that transition like?
Okay. No, there's more to say because you see, I hope you have time because I have so
Trust
much
me.
To say. So
we have
that
2 hours.
School where my grandma, took us to school with so much love, with a whip, is where I started my grade 1. And then, that was in 1991. In 1992, my mother came to get me from the village so I can continue school in Rundu. So then I started at Rundu, junior primary school at that time. Now it's just Rundu primary school, but it was divided into two at that time.
Okay.
Rundu junior primary and Rundu senior primary school. So I was in Rundu junior primary school. And, I think what happened was that the truth was revealed of my inadequacies.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say here that, the gap and the inequalities in education began to show from the village school to the town school. And you can understand why. If I tell you that all the children who are in different grades are taught at the same time by the one teacher who is there, the attention is not the same as when you go to a school where you are in a class of the same grade and the teacher is dedicated to just those children.
Mm, you can so, just tell the kid.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. So when I got to Rundu in primary school, I didn't know how to read. I didn't know how to do math. I was really behind. And the first term in April when the report cards came out in 1992, I still have my report card. I still have my report card. If you're interested, listeners, you can come and see it. And my report card was full of red circles. English red circle, math red circle.
Yeah.
I failed almost everything apart from, I think it was physical education or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah. I failed everything. Yeah. And I can remember, my father was laughing at me actually.
Oh.
Because, oh my goodness, how do you fail like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, then with the presence of course my mom, I'm now staying with my mom who is a teacher, and my dad is there and a good school, and they started to kind of show attention, and even myself, I don't remember them really putting much effort, but I remember that year I started to change with my interest for reading came out just naturally. My interest for school came out. I started to actually enjoy school so much that I remember in the weekends when I'm just at home,
yeah.
I pick up a grade two book and I'll read it. And if I don't know a word, I'll call my mom and show her, Mommy, how do you read this, this word? And I remember doing that so much.
And you're how old this time?
I was seven.
Oh.
Yes, I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. So I can note a difference that happened there, that transition, if you're talking about transitions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So from then on, I started to do well, moved on to the upper primary, the senior primary. I was one of the better students already showing in school at that time. And then when I got to grade seven, the question now was, okay, so you're in grade seven, where will you go for grade eight? My father wanted me to go to St. Boniface at that time. And, because, well, it's near and it's a Catholic school and so on. And he is Catholic and so on. But
it's only now that I'm appreciating that you're from Kavango and brilliant students from that side.
Yeah, no, the education is trying that side.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I felt attracted to go to Elsin Kurenkuru High School.
Mm.
I just felt it like that.
Mm.
And that is the first time I think my stubbornness kind of showed. I wasn't really like, no, I'm going to, but I just felt like, no, I want to go to this school. And one thing about my parents is that they were kind of, they give you that sort of limited independence in some things for you to actually decide for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they gave me that opportunity and I felt, no, I want to go to Elsin Kurenkuru High School. And that is how I ended up at Elsin Kurenkuru High School, 1998, grade 8.
Okay.
Now, when I got to Elsin Kurenkuru High School, the school, it's a beautiful school. It's a, the commitment to education.
Yeah.
Really the best. Heads off to that school. I'm grateful I went to that school.
Mm.
Yes. So it was a private school at that time, owned by the Elsin Church, of course. The Finnish people were involved in also training and teaching. They would come and visit. But the local staff as well, they were really, really good. The environment was very good. And I thrived. I began to thrive.
Yeah.
Yes. And from grade 8, grade 9, 10, 11, 12, I was the best in my class.
Really?
Yes, I was really the best.
Oh.
Every year.
Okay.
And it just came out naturally. And I was really humbled actually to be doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say one or two things there. It is because of one, the environment. The school was an enabling environment for
one to thrive.
Yes. For one to really be able to bring out that your best, the best in you, because they always encourage competition and for you to really, you know, give your best. And two, I think at that time, I was beginning to understand kind of myself, what my interests were. My interests were really academic. I began to see that. And therefore, books became my closest friends. Yeah, I started to really, really delve into studying, taking my reading very seriously, making timetables for myself to study, always sitting in front of the class, really giving it best. And, you know, the teachers in the school will always tell you, time to study, read this and so on and so on. And I would say, yes, I want to follow what they're saying. I want to follow the rules of the school and I want to, whatever advice they're giving, I want to follow because I want to do well in school. And I think Elsin Kurenkuru High School really is the opportunity that God gave me for me to really, see that my line is academic. Yeah.
And to set the foundation.
Exactly. So, yeah.
I appreciate that story and appreciate how you give reasons as to why you think you thrived. So as to perhaps a learner, and I don't want to say a student, a learner who's currently at school now and is, they've set their goals. They want to do really good, in school so that they can have basics of what, another person did. And they could do the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I would say really that for learners in high school especially, I would actually say that boarding schools are better than day schools because boarding schools really take away many, many distractions and temptations from the youth.
Yeah.
You know, all these peer pressure things and going into town after school, passing through the malls and those things, they steal time.
Mm.
At Elsin Kurenkuru High School, I remember 7 to 1:20 is school. And at 7, there's always devotions, you pray, okay? So, first of all, you wake up at 5. Someone comes to wake you up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's five.
Yeah.
You go and clean up, take your bath, get dressed. I think 6 o'clock, 6:20 or something like that. Breakfast is being served. You go and get your breakfast, take your breakfast. You are dressed. By 7 o'clock, you are all in your classes. You start with a devotion. There's a roster who is doing devotion today, who is reading which scripture.
Among the learners.
The learners, yes.
Nice.
Because it's a church school, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, so who is doing the devotion? And immediately classes start up to 1:20, 1:30, there's lunch. Lunch is served. You are taken care of up to, I don't know what time. So from 1 to 4, you are free. 4 o'clock, afternoon study. Afternoon, 4 to 5. Afternoon study. You are silent in your classes being supervised. And then 5 o'clock, study is over. 5 to 6, free time. You go and play your sports or go and read a book or whatever it is. You have your free time. But 6 o'clock again, evening devotions. 7 o'clock, dinner. After dinner, 7:30, evening study time. 7:30 to around 9 o'clock, evening study time. 9 o'clock, study time finishes. 9 to 10, a bit of free time. Those who want to see their partner secretly without their parents knowing that they have a girlfriend or boyfriend, they go and sit down and talk and do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. People like me, we are still continuing to read in the class. It's the study is over, but I'm still sitting there 9 to maybe 10 o'clock or 9:30 or something like that. Or those, if you want to unwind, you go to your room listening to some music or something like that, catch up with friends. But 10 o'clock, sleeping time. You're all in your bedrooms. No one is walking around.
Mm-hmm.
10 to 5, the cycle continues.
Strict supervision.
Very strict. How will you not do well in such an environment?
I love the attention to detail. It just reminds me I'm dealing with a whole doctor in studio today. Anyway, let's pause here now for a commercial break. We'll be back shortly. We're talking about career guidance. We're just getting started.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers, and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences, or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
And of course, we are back. Like I said, this is Life Lessons. We're talking about career guidance today. And I appreciate my guest in studio because, like I said, I think he's the very right person to be talking to today about career guidance because we're using his own story as a case study. And I know you're already picking up one or two because I am. Now, Dr. Bonnie Singu, we left off where you're talking about boarding school and why would one wouldn't thrive with everything that the way it's been set up. Is this probably the same now with boarding schools? I mean, we just recently seeing videos of, I want to hear your opinion on it. We recently saw videos on social media about boarding schools, how they are amassed, the debt and everything. What is your opinion on that?
Thank you for the question. You know, we have to understand we can't go now into unpacking everything there, but there are many factors that are leading to some of these things. One of them, primarily, I think is just the funding and the financing, to maintain. The word is to maintain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to start something, but to keep it going and make sure that it remains at the same standard or becomes better. This is a challenge. Yeah. So most of these schools you are talking about, that are now dilapidated and the infrastructure is worn out and you know, the bedrooms, children are sleeping on, no, there are no mattresses and things like that. They started out to be very good schools that were well funded and provisioned.
Yeah.
So I think it's really just the funding, and we should do justice. I speak as a member of this country, as a citizen, as a national, you know, pointing no fingers against anybody really. But if we say we are going to provide free education to our basic education, then we must make sure that the funding is there. We must make sure we really do justice to free education so that really our children grow up in good environments, good schooling. You know what that does to you when you go to a school that is clean, that is of discipline, that is well provisioned, the walls are clean.
Yeah.
What that does to you is that it boosts your self-confidence. But when you find a place that is dilapidated and it's old and it's not maintained, what that does is that it encourages you to also behave in a certain way.
True.
Because you feel this is my environment.
Mm.
So cleanliness is really next to godliness, because if an environment is well maintained, it will encourage people to maintain it. But if it's falling apart, people will be like, oh, okay, let's continue making it fall apart.
Mm.
So, boarding school, I think, is really the best idea, best approach to schooling.
Okay.
Yes, high school especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but infrastructure is wearing down because people are not interested in investing.
Mm.
Yeah,
I appreciate that, and especially coming from you, an educator. I did not tell the people, which I said you should, but you didn't.
We're getting there, I guess.
Okay. Oh, okay. Let me not go ahead of that then. But generally, that's something that I say from the very beginning. Are we moving on? Can we move on now to university, or are we still in high school?
Yeah, sure. It depends. It depends on our time, because we can say a lot. But I think high school I've summarized how it was.
Let's move to university now.
Yes.
And how you actually chose your career.
Thank you. University, my first year at university was 2003. I finished high school 2002. But since we are going to talk about how I chose my career, we'll have to go back.
2003? Oh, you finished high school 2002?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Since we are talking about how I chose my career, we have to go back to 1999.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because while I was at high school, remember, it's a good school. It's a boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
I am enjoying reading, opening books, being in the library most of the time.
Mm.
And there was a book on careers.
Mm.
Yes. And while I was in grade 10, I think, I was looking at what career should I follow. Already at that time on television, I was exposed to these documentaries on medical doctors and things like that. I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I remember I thought, okay, I think I want to be an eye specialist one day.
Oh.
Yeah. And at that time, there were things going on, and Dr. Helen Dume was really popular those days.
Yeah.
I actually reached out to her. I called Katutura Hospital or whatever. I looked for contacts.
Why are you grade 12?
Grade 10. Grade 10, 11, somewhere there. I can't remember.
I appreciate the
call. I made a call, looked for her until they found her, and I spoke with her and told her, look, ma'am, me, I want to be an eye specialist like you. What do I need to do? What is the path? Where do I go to study?
Thing. Yeah.
I did that all the way from Kavango West, imagine. Yes.
Did you call her back now that you're older to say I was the one?
No, I have not.
There was
a time I bumped into her. I greeted her with so much respect that I didn't bring up the story.
Okay.
Yes. So, I started to think, okay, maybe I should be an eye specialist. Okay, fine. But then I picked up this book from the library on careers. It had all the kinds of careers.
Mm-hmm.
It explains what you do in this career. What is the education needed for you to do in this career?
Mm.
What kind of personality you should be?
Yeah.
Where to study? And mostly it's South Africa. Those days, UNAM was still coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in reading the book, I consistently was drawn to two careers there.
Okay.
Yeah. And it seemed I couldn't make a choice between the two.
Okay.
The one was pharmacy. I thought, okay, I want to be a pharmacist, really. I think I want to be a pharmacist. And then the other one was lecturing.
No way.
Yes. And I thought, but how now? How will I be able to be these two professions? And I like them both so much from what I'm reading here. So that is how it was. So when I finished my high school in 2002, I applied to UNAM. To do science, because the information was, if you wanted to do medicine, for example, anything medicine related, you can go to UNAM first, spend a year or two, and then after that, you can apply to go to a South African university to study what you want to study.
Yeah.
So I applied for science. I got into science. It was a 4-year program. At UNAM.
Okay.
Yeah. I applied. I came and I did chemistry and biology, because I told them I want to be like in the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So because my grades were really, really good when I came to UNAM, they made me skip my first year and I started in my second year. And
no so way.
I finished, yes. And okay. so I finished my degree, my 4-year degree in 3 years, actually. Yeah.
You were supposed to tell me so I can understand better the concept.
Yes, it's history, isn't it?
Interesting.
Yes. So okay. while I was at UNAM doing my BSc in chemistry and biology, I was doing very well. I was happy. I was praying, and I was also applying, looking out for opportunities to now go and study outside. I was given a scholarship actually to go and study in Russia. I remember to study medicine.
Yeah.
But I prayed about it, and it seems that my spirit wasn't open to that. Somehow I just could not.
Okay.
So I canceled that scholarship bid.
Mm-hmm.
And then I applied to the University of Pretoria to do medicine, and they took me in. But also I felt, no, this is not really what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I canceled that opportunity to study medicine at University of Pretoria as well.
Let's dwell on that quickly.
Mm.
Why is that very important? That even if opportunities are coming your way, like really massive opportunity, very good opportunities, generally, a normal person, and I say normal because I think it's common that you get a scholarship to go and study this, and then you jump at it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that very important that you carefully select and not just grab every opportunity that comes your way?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Today on my Instagram, I asked my followers, how do they choose the career or the course that they are in?
Okay.
There are 4 options there. One of them is someone inspired me.
Yeah.
Another one is my family told me to. Another one is it was the only option.
Yeah.
And then another one says, I felt it was for me. And 16% of people say someone inspired me. 13% of people say my family told me so. 16% of the people said, it was the only option. And then the vast majority said it was for them. They felt it was for them.
Okay.
I'm just bringing up these stats to show that really, as you are saying, people sometimes take whatever opportunity comes and they feel, no, this is the opportunity. And when you look at perhaps where you are coming from, the social pressures, your family needs someone, a breadwinner. You are probably their only shot. You take whatever opportunity that is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember when, now I'm coming to the point where I eventually, after not taking these opportunities, the opportunity to study pharmacy came. And that is at the end of my Bachelor of Science studies. And it was the Ministry of Health, and they were looking for people to send to Kenya to go and study pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it was pasted there at UNAM. I saw it and I applied, and the opportunity was given to me. Now I had to go back to my family and say, look, my family, I have this opportunity to go and study what I've always wanted. Yeah, and the Ministry of Health is going to pay for my studies. Everything is okay.
Mm.
One, my family said, no, but you've just finished studying. You want to go for another one again without sitting down to at least work and
enjoy,
contribute something financially or something like that.
Yeah.
And then two, some were saying, no, but what? You want to go and study pharmacy? No, do medicine. Medicine is the one. Mm. But I stuck to my guns, and it was a tough time. When I came back to the ministry, I almost actually canceled the opportunity. I came to the ministry and said, but my parents don't want me to go. My family are saying I shouldn't take this opportunity.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the person at the ministry who was handling this. And they took my parents' phone number, called them, and explained to them. I'm not kidding. This is exactly what she said.
Yeah, okay.
She said, no, he should take this opportunity because he can become a doctor in pharmacy. That's what she said. Yeah. And my parents were convinced and they allowed me to go and study pharmacy. So that is how I was able to maneuver that. Mm-hmm. And I understand the pressures of just taking whatever opportunity comes.
Yeah.
Because you really want to provide. Some people are probably, you know, you have a child already, or people in your family are saying, no, we need some money. And you look at other people, other families, they are making headwinds and you are behind and you are pressured. But I would say it's really important for you to be courageous, to follow something that, your heart is leading you to follow, because only you know what you are in tune to do. Yeah. The pressures are there, but that's what courage means. Courage means you are afraid to take this decision, but somehow you know at the end of this decision, there is something good behind it.
I appreciate that. Wow. Okay. And then off you went, to study pharmacy after just finishing what you're supposed to finish in 4 years. You finished
the Bachelor of Science, the Bachelor Chemistry of Science. And Biology.
Finished in 3 years.
Yeah, I did. And I would like to share a story there, because after I finished my BSc, while I was finishing, I actually applied for a job at NAM Water, you know, because I was doing chemistry and they were looking for someone with a chemistry degree to work in the labs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I applied. And the interviews were really, really good. And they told me, yes, just finish what you're doing now. And if you finish, we'll take you.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I failed a module in my last year and I had to repeat it. So now they couldn't give me that job. Yeah. You know. So, but nonetheless, when I finished, the degree completely, there was a kind of, when I was now repeating that one module, for a whole semester, I had nothing to do, just doing that one module, going to UNAM every day, I started to look for a job. And I got a job at the Gammam's Water Works, there by Goriahap.
Yeah.
You know that, water treatment plant nearby Goriahap that cleans the water and so on.
Okay.
So I went there, I just walked there and said, I'm a science graduate. I'm looking for a job. Can I have something to do here at your place? I said, there's really nothing, but we can give you a kind of, you can shadow the guys who collect water at the different water points in the city, and we'll give you something small for that. So I worked for them for three months, and every day I would walk from home. I was staying in Ukuriangava. I would walk from Ukuriangava to Gammam's there by Koriahab there, Vanaheda, that side. Every day, in my boots.
Greenwell that time.
Yes, in my boots, blue overalls, like that. I was not ashamed that, no, I'm a graduate and things. So,
I like that.
Yeah, and then while I was there, that's when the scholarship thing came out for pharmacy. And while I was, when I got the scholarship, I now told the city, like, no, I have an opportunity to go and study now. And they were arranging my payment now for the 3 months I worked for them. I still remember how much they gave me. Now they told me to go to the city house in town to get my payment. While I was there and I was getting my check, the lady at the window asked me, so why are you leaving us?
Yeah.
I said, no, I have an opportunity to go and study outside of the country. She said, okay, what are you going to study? I said, I'm going to study pharmacy. And she said, okay, please go and find the cure for HIV.
Oh
yes. So she said that to me, and I really took that to heart, and I was very happy that I was given a send off by the nation, if you will. Yeah. So I just wanted to share that part of me looking for work, in my final year, and just want to speak to the youth and say, look, don't be lazy. You are looking for your ideal opportunity, whatever you can find to do. I was a whole graduate, but I was going around the city with a driver who is not skilled, but just collecting water to take to the lab so that they can see how clean it is. My job is simply to assist that person as a whole educated person.
Yeah.
So pride is a very bad thing. Don't feel so proud that, no, me, I'm highly educated, I cannot do that kind of job. My dear, whatever it is that you're found to do, because you know what that means? When you're showing that attitude of, I am willing to work, you are rewarded for that. God rewards you for that, for showing the willingness. Doesn't the good book say, the one who is faithful in small things will also be faithful in big things? But then if you have the attitude of, no, I'll just wait, sit here at home, and you are seated at home in the couch, sleeping, doing nothing, opportunities will not come your way because you are not showing the worthiness of big opportunities. So don't be lazy. Find something to do with your hands. Show the willingness to work and you will be rewarded.
Indeed. I don't know. I'm so invested in the story and really appreciating it. Sincerely, I've heard a guest also said, oh, it was a farmer, yeah, an agronomist. And he said also that he was not ashamed. And I sincerely appreciate that when, oh, and also an entrepreneur as well. He went around selling his socks. Mm. And he also said, I was not ashamed as much as I was the head boy. Mm. I think it takes very courageous people, very few courageous people. It takes that boldness to say, I was not ashamed. Just as much as I don't have a job, but I'm going to sell fat cakes and tomatoes and onions in my location and I'll not be ashamed. Yeah. And then opportunity comes my way. Bigger opportunity comes my way.
Yeah.
Tell us about your stay in Tanzania now doing
Kenya.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah. In Kenya doing your pharmacy, bachelor of pharmacy.
I'm grateful for that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It really kind of transformed my life, and I really mean it.
Yeah.
I really mean it. So, I was first of all really happy, very happy. You know, I was very happy. So you have to understand why I was very happy. I was very happy because finally I got into track of doing what I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you also have to appreciate that I had sort of been building up a kind of a life. The 4 years, 3 years and a half I was in Windhoek, you know, involved in church activities and my family and things like that. And I had to leave that behind sort of.
Mm.
It was a courageous move that I had to make for my career.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once I got that opportunity, I was really happy. And for the youth out there, this is how you know you've made the right decision. When you have peace in your heart about the decision you have made.
Mm.
Yeah. I was so happy. So, so happy.
And so peaceful.
We landed in that country. I was like, okay, I am here. I am excited. I was even kind of blind to some of the things I saw there because you see, when you move into a new jurisdiction, a new space, things are different from where you come from naturally, anywhere you go. So the environment was kind of different. We're not used to some of the things we're seeing there. For example, the roads, the potholes, and now the population is so much. I remember walking in Nairobi, one of the first few days I was there, and someone stepped on my shoe and it kind of came off. And no one said, sorry for stepping on your shoe. No one. Life continued. People were just walking on the pavement. No one cared. And I was shocked. I was like, wow, how do you do that? How do you walk on someone, step on someone's shoe? It comes off and you don't say, I'm sorry, you know? And because, you know, the lifestyle is totally different. So, first few days in Nairobi were very exciting. Just looking at the new culture, the new, experience. And one thing that I really appreciated about at least the education there was how intense it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kenyan education is very intense, starting from primary school. It's intense. It's like it's a job. It's a job. And children go to school in the morning.
Yeah.
They come back at 4. They spend the whole day at school.
Yeah.
You understand? So not like here where by 1 o'clock now kids are standing by the roadside waiting for a taxi, standing there playing with friends. And no, you stay at school. You see, I told you about boarding school, mm-hmm. how I feel about it. It's almost like that.
Mm-hmm.
So where it's not a boarding school, children stay at the school until 4. And sorry to say, I think our education system sort of made also the teachers to not commit so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because nowadays you can see the attitude of our teachers, for example. Nothing against our teachers, full respect, but the system is encouraging sort of a culture of just doing the bare minimum, which is being with the kids from 7 to 1 o'clock. And then once school is off, anything beyond 1 o'clock, teachers will say, nope, this is not, in my space right now. I have to go or whatever. I'm not going to touch these children. Mm-hmm. So in other countries, like what I saw in Kenya there, school knocks off at 1 o'clock. Yes. But then there is also extracurricular things that must happen, study time that must happen and so on, so that children only go back at 4 o'clock. And I feel this is something that we must think about how many times have we changed our curriculum, education system here in this country, basic education. Yeah. It's changing almost every 5 years we change it. And we are saying that no, children are failing. The reason really is not in the content we are teaching. It's not the content. It is just the culture of making sure that we expose our children to books and help them to be disciplined and to stay as close as possible to the school. Mm-hmm. So I think there is where we can learn from this place. So primary school intense. And at the end of primary school, there's a national exam for the primary school, just like we do for grade 10 and 11 now and grade 12. National primary school exam. Okay. And the little children, as short as they are studying. They want to be Kenya's number one primary school child.
Yeah.
It's a competition. And the parents are making sure that this child must be number one. The schools drill their children. They make sure that our school should come out number one. And when it does, really, I see it also that we try to do it, but it's intense there. It's really like winning a gold medal at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And the child is put there on the newspaper. This is Kenya's number one primary school student, learner. Here they are. And that is just primary school to move to secondary school. And then at the end of secondary school, the same thing. It's intense.
Nice.
So now this learners who are exposed to such intense academic practices, when they come to university, you can imagine. I still remember sitting in a lecture hall, being taught a topic. The next day, the lecturer comes and asks, "Can someone explain this?" There's someone there who will stand up and just discharge knowledge as if he's a professor, you know. So it was really, really intense. And I liked sort of the dress code, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just because at in the health sciences where we were, there was a dress code, like students,
like a uniform.
Yeah, students come to class in suits, dressed in a suit, because you see, you are going to be a future doctor. You come dressed formal, no t-shirts, no sneakers, with a suitcase, sort of very, very serious looking learners. And they are so smart.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
And for the ladies?
The ladies, of course, dressed very formal.
Okay.
Very, very formal, you know. And, and you can see that people are really serious about the education. What happens actually is, at the end of secondary school exam, there's kind of 10 months of I'll call it a gap, you know.
Okay.
So you don't finish in December, and then in January you're already in university.
Okay.
So I think they finish in December or something like that, and then university only starts in September next year.
Okay.
So there's that 10 months period when they have nothing to do.
Yeah.
And what do people do? They know, okay, I've been admitted to the university. I'm going to do medicine. I'm going to do pharmacy. And then there are places where you can go and study anatomy, like extra, like NAMCOL or something like that.
Preparing
yourself. Yes, preparing yourself. You enroll, you do chemistry, you do everything, so that by the time you join university, you really have good grounding. Some of them start to work. You go and work in the bank or do a job, whatever, save up, and then come and pay your school fees with it.
Nice.
Yeah. So the work ethic.
It's almost like a gap year.
Yeah. It's almost really, like a gap year.
Yeah.
So what really, really stuck with me was the work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In that place, people really work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And academically, how are you doing? How are you performing?
I was good. I was really, really good. I never failed any module. I never repeated anything.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was the happiness. I was really happy. every day in class, I was excited. I was happy to just learn everything, just sinking it all in. I don't know why I was like that, but I just enjoyed myself. Yeah. All the 4 years I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're really in the right field.
Yes, I was.
It's the way you speak with a passion for me.
Yeah,
a real
you.
Educator. Mm. Oh, wow. That's quite interesting. Okay. And, did you take on extramural activities while you were there pursuing your Bachelor of Pharmacies? And also, how was making friends like? Were you mostly devoted to your books or were you also making friends?
Yeah, thank you very much. So when I was there, I wasn't really into extramural. I was reading a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, I was reading a lot. It's the culture that I learned at high school, the boarding school. Mm. So lectures, our lectures would end somewhere around 12 or sometimes 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Take your lunch, rest a bit,
mm-hmm.
and then read. Read, 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 read until I don't know what time, take dinner, come back again, read, read, read until like 10, go to sleep. So I brought with me that culture I learned in high school. I was always reading. But, I also took out some time to learn music. I could play the keyboard. I took out some time to also play games. I was into FIFA at that time. You find me in my room a bit playing on my computer, FIFA and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was always attending church. I was, what else was I doing? Well, I was also the president of the International Students Association while I was at the University of Nairobi. I was
Yes.
We are the one who formed it. And, the first year I was the vice president and the next year I became the president. I was very active.
Mm.
Yeah. In that sense, but mostly I was just reading. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Also a musical break. And then we'll be back to continue. Stay tuned. This is Life Lessons.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushengife nawa nukumona oijemo ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
Get the best for less at USave. 2 kilograms Omaeta cultured milk, just 48.99 Namibian dollars. 2 liters of Rietfontein nectar juice, just 34.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of King Poloni, just 24.99 Namibian dollars. Knorr packet soup, 30 Namibian dollars for any 5. That's just 6 Namibian dollars each. Take a break with Nestle Kit Kat chocolates, just 10.99 Namibian dollars. And a 2-liter Co-E cool drink, only 12.99 Namibian dollars. USave, your low budget grocery store. Where good food costs less.
Onda karahandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka ne data no shoyo o utungwa rakavahupi. O netweka imwe o kufuta rumwe o kuinyenga rumwe o kujapa ndali fio papa ndauka. Onda pumbwa o netweka oyo hai jira jira ya fang. Omafikwa amwe, ohandi streaming. Omafikwa amwe, ohandi popi. Omafikwa amwe, ohandi ningaishe poshikanto shimwe. Pamwe na parateza, oenda holora. Ameha ishipangere, osho paumwene. Dira dira omakwata fanone data, momkaro wiri. Mwana parika okutuma koutumaraka, okustreaminga. Noku denga pamwe na parateza. Konga, parateza, Namibia.
Always prepare.
Do that. You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me know.
Get down!
the world, and God we trust. An architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version hung with the wrong person. Got a strong on that. Sniffing up drugs all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowd you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hand in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, for you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists. So act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys. You can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking and ice. You don't want to be my agent, can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be,
I'll be where I wanna
now,
be.
Go. We came to this country. We were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded. They heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked. Slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He wasn't shocked that the mountains were black faces. Shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They'll learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen. I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all.
Oh, yes. And we are back. Like I said, you are tuned into Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and we are here to talk about career guidance. And of course, I have the right guest in studio with me. And I say right because his story is more, it's giving me more reasons to say, man, I'm so glad I pulled this doc up on this conversation, on this show. Now, doctor, I want to appreciate your smartness. And I say smartness because I did pharmacology myself. I'll tell you a story. When I was doing my course in paramedics at NUST, we had a component, the only module ever within that course, pharmacology. Or was it pharmacology one and two? I think it was only one, yeah? And I am telling you, there was a day that I decided, I studied for it. I studied for my test. When we went to write, I still failed. I felt so bad. Mm-hmm. I think I got below 20% in that test. And for the next test, I said, you know what? I'm not going to waste my mind to read this thing because I don't understand this thing. Passing that module, I thought I was going to pass it with 52%. In fact, I prayerfully passed it.
Mm.
So when I got 54% and the pass rate is 50, I was very grateful, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So me taking on that, doing just, that was just basic pharmacology, and you really going into studying pharmacy with all those pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, what, understanding drugs, but you get into that for us. I appreciate it. And going on to do your master's, right? And also then your doctorate. I must say, wow, that's quite interesting.
Thank
now
you.
Let's get back from Kenya. You came back from Kenya now, then what?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the compliments of smartness. But of course, I'm a better person than that. I understand everyone is smart in their own way.
Yeah.
I could not sit in your seat right now and get this conversation going. I don't have those kinds of gifts and strengths. So everyone is smart in their own way. And, it underlies the principle of, career thriving.
Mm.
Nonetheless, yes, thank you. So when we came back from Kenya, so the way it happens is that as a pharmacist, you have to first register with the pharmacy board and, do internship for 1 year. Under the supervision of a trained pharmacist. So that's what we did. Since we were sent by the government, we were considered kind of human resource of the government. So we're asked to be interns in the hospitals. So we spent 6 months at, Central Hospital, 6 months at a community pharmacy in town. I was at Medisan in Van Hill Park.
Okay.
That's where I did my other 6 months in community pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I said, but the ministry was saying, okay, we need you to spread out, because there was an acute shortage of pharmacists at that time in 2011.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, we need you to spread out. You all can't be here in Windhoek. You all can't be at Central Hospital. You need to spread out so that we can meet the needs of our people. So I said, no, immediately I said, I want to go back to Rundu. I want to give back to my community.
Nice.
Yeah. So I went back to Rundu. I spent about a year and a half there as a pharmacist. And then, I came to join the university as an assistant lecturer in 2014. And I've been here ever since.
As an assistant lecturer.
As an assistant lecturer. And I've grown through the ranks, of course.
Hold it right there.
Yes, yes.
I had something that's very interesting. The career book. You wondered, you were torn between two careers,
mm-hmm.
being a pharmacist mm-hmm. and being a lecturer.
Yes.
And then now you're a pharmacist and then you are lecturing.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mm.
Look at
that.
Did you ever
think about it like that?
I thought about it. I've thought about it and I have so much to say about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone is willing to listen,
yeah.
I will say some things there.
Yeah.
So, what happened was after our internship was done, our internship was in 2011. 2011 was the year that the School of Pharmacy at UNAM was inaugurated.
Mm.
It opened.
Mm-hmm.
And I also attended the inauguration. I met the people who were the first people to teach the school there. And I met the head of the school. I said, hey, I would like to join the school. How can I be a part? I said, okay, just be on the lookout. Give us your number. When we're ready to advertise, we'll let you know so you can also apply. So, okay, I waited, but then I had to go to Rundu to be a pharmacist there. And in 2013, there were interviews called. They called me for an interview. I passed the interview, actually. And because there was something happening back in Rundu, I had to kind of do damage control. We are starting a pharmacy there, and my partner couldn't really start it, so I had to step in and actually run it. So I resigned from the government to run our private business.
Yeah.
So, but then the university said, yes, you can come and start. I said, oh, there's a situation. I cannot come now.
Mm.
Then they say, okay, fine. When can you start? I said, okay, maybe next year in 2014. And they actually said, okay, fine. We'll wait for you. Yes.
Nice.
Yes. That's how my opportunity at UNAM was not lost.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2014, my partner was good to go. She came back, took over the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to study at the University of Namibia as an assistant lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how it worked there. Because usually if you get a job through an interview and then you say, I can't make it now, they say, no, we need someone. We'll take someone and give that job to someone else, and you lose your opportunity.
That's
but
true.
Somehow this job waited for me.
Was just for you.
Yeah. It waited for me. And
sometimes if you had not opened up to speak, you wouldn't, they wouldn't consider, you know, holding on to the job for you.
Yes.
But I think sometimes it takes us also to have that, just that positivity. If it's for me, yes, I think it will be for me.
Yes. I hope at the end of this, I'll have some time to actually now speak on some guidance as per my story, so that I can bring everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that is exactly what happened. And so I became an assistant lecturer, and then I worked hard. I became a lecturer after my master's degree, and I was promoted to senior lecturer. I'm now a senior lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
And also administratively, I showed some aptitude. I became a head of the department for the two departments. I was head of department. And then the opportunity came also. I now became the head of the School of Pharmacy.
Mm.
Yeah. So that is my professional story.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't talk about being the chairperson of the Pharmacy Board of Namibia.
Oh, yes. Yes. That other side as well. I have been very active since 2011 when I became an intern. I also joined the Pharmaceutical Society of Namibia as a professional. And, I've been a member ever since. And then I've also served. In 2020, I was appointed to the Namibian Medicines Regulatory Council,
mm-hmm,
as a council member by the Minister of Health. I served for 3 years during all those years of COVID, 2020 mm-hmm to 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2023, I was appointed to the Pharmacy Board of Namibia, and I was elected by my peers to be the president. And so I'm currently the president of that board. And also in 2024, the Health Professions Council was inaugurated. And as the chair of the Pharmacy Board, I'm part of the Health Professions Council of Namibia.
Interesting.
Yes. So that is where I am right now, as together with being also the head of the School of Pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And really that's what I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And with that, we have a scheduled commercial break coming up. Let's take that, and we'll be back shortly to get back into this interesting conversation. Do stay tuned.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka okwene ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Pada fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
And we are back. This is Life Lessons. I'm your host, Dafa Happy Juju. And of course, I'm joined in studio by Dr. Bonnie Singu. Dr. Bonnie Singu is the Associate Dean at the University of Namibia, Associate Dean of School of Pharmacy.
Yeah.
And he's also the chairperson or president of the
Pharmacy Board of Namibia.
Too many boards, Pharmacy Board of Namibia. Okay. Now, Doctor, let's get into career guidance. You being, holding all those titles didn't happen overnight. And of course, I should appreciate your story, yeah, now that we have given the people context. But let's get into the importance of career guidance. Why is it very important to kickstart your career right very early on?
Thank you so much. This is an important question. I would say, first of all, I actively engage the youth on career guidance.
Mm.
Yeah, because I understand how important it is. I think last year or the year before, I was in Kavango West in Pungu, my home place.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Imarai Tete Secondary School, and I was sharing career guidance to the learners of the school and gave out my book for free. Laying the Foundation for Your Success, a good book.
Mm.
Yeah. And I did this because of this very reason, that there are people out there with so much potential, but they don't have access to the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, they don't have access to the information about the opportunities. and access to information.
I'm so sorry. Yes. They don't have access to the information.
Mm-hmm. Of the opportunities.
Of the opportunities.
And they don't have access to the opportunities.
Mm. But regardless of them being learners in school,
yes,
where they are being taught.
In this house of Namibia.
Yeah.
Yeah. The house of Namibia.
Mm.
There are still some places where people don't know what they don't know.
Mm.
Yeah. So I thank you for the opportunity to come here in this studio today to just mention more about this. And I keep on trying to help young people about this. So career guidance is really important. Once you are done with school, most of your waking hours will be spent on your career, your job, what you do. And some think it's about the money, but it's not about the money. You know, some think it's about the prestige, but it's not about the prestige. Mm. It is all about fulfilling the existence of yourself.
Yeah.
Fulfillment. That is what it is all about. And that is why career choice fundamentally should be based on what is inside of you. What is your heart saying? And in the first chapter of my book, Laying the Foundation for Your Success, the first chapter there is Discover Yourself. Discover yourself. Why is it important to discover yourself? Because if you don't discover who you are, if you don't understand who you are, if you don't know who you are not going to be able to face the right direction in the efforts that you make in life. So this is very important. So career guidance really will not be necessary if a person understands who they are. And if I'm going to give any career guidance, I want to say, understand who you are. Who you are is the most important thing. Mm,
your personality.
Yes. You have to discover yourself. Okay. Not only your personality, but the complete being of you.
Maybe your strength, your weaknesses.
Your strengths, your weaknesses, your inclinations, all those things. Because all those things are written in your DNA. Yes. You see? So your DNA, your DNA carries all the information about you. All the information about you. How tall you are, how short you are, how dark-skinned you are, how light-skinned you are, what color your eyes are, how your voice is, your muscular, you know, makeup, your inclinations, your IQ, whether you are a socially oriented person, whether you are more of a numerically oriented person, all those things are written in your DNA. And, well, we are a vast nation, but if you are a person of faith, you understand that God created you. And when God created you, He made that DNA the way it is. Which means that there is a purpose to every person's life. They are a piece to a large jigsaw puzzle. Only they can fit in a certain place.
Yeah.
It's more like, for example, how the parts of a vehicle are. You have all those parts that make up the engine, different parts, or the gearbox or whatever part. And you know what? Someone designed those parts to exactly fit to one another so the engine can work.
Mm.
In this case, human life was designed by God. DNA was designed by God. And therefore, when you come out of your mother's womb, you have an assigned sort of blueprint of what you will become. I'm not even talking about job title, I'm talking about work. Because sometimes you like to put things in a box. No, I am a pharmacist. I'm a nurse. No, it's not really like that. Those are just human boxes. As a human being, you can be a nurse who is a humanitarian, who is a musician, and so on. Because God is not the one who assigned doctor, pharmacist, engineer. No, those are human assignments.
Yeah.
You see. So God gave you a fulfillment, a task. And for you to be able to fulfill your task while you are alive on this earth, you need to understand who you are. And if I can just be given more time to unpack this, this is really crucial.
Yeah.
Because, you see, if you understand who you are, then you understand where you are going.
Mm.
And by virtue of that fact, therefore, nobody outside of you can actually tell you what you should become. Nobody can tell you you should be a nurse. Nobody can tell you you should be a mathematician. Nobody can tell you should be a soccer player. Only you can know, because only you carry your DNA. There's no one else who has exactly the same DNA as yourself. Your pastor doesn't know your DNA. Your mother doesn't know your DNA. Your principal doesn't know your DNA. But you know what is in your DNA. Why? Because your DNA speaks to your thoughts.
Mm.
Your DNA comes out in your emotions. Your DNA comes out in your inner voice.
Mm.
So everything about you is already made in your DNA, and it expresses through your personality.
Okay.
So other people may not be able to understand you, but you understand yourself. And therefore, that's why I use the word courage. You need to have the courage to take the steps which you feel you need to take to be fulfilled in your career choice. Don't let people around you to actually tell you, you must become this, you must become that, you must become this. And many times families, parents, church people and so on tell young people what they should become.
Mm.
Yeah. No, we need you to be this so you can do this.
Mm.
But truly, truly, have they really looked into themselves? So that is why in the first chapter of my book, I talk about how you can discover yourself. And this is, you have to be by yourself. You have to look inward, not look outward. The thing that most of us do is, I will tune in so I can listen to Bonnie Singu so he can tell me what I should become.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go to my pastor so he can tell me what I should become.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask this person and that person. It's good, but all they should tell you is that they should ask you, what do you feel about it yourself?
Okay.
Yes, yeah. That is really crucial, and I want to end that bit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that. Very interesting. Okay. I like the how you touched there at that point about parents, and I still want us to go back there. For instance, I want to go and study media studies,
mm-hmm.
but my parents want me to go and study marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I understand myself. Mm-hmm. I understand exactly my strengths in, when it comes to maybe speaking. And then marketing, maybe not really my thing. Yeah. Now my parents are going to be responsible for payments, for the expenses and the bills as I go to university. And they are insisting that I go and study marketing. What then do I do?
Yeah. This is a very important question, very delicate as well. So, you know, we have to inform ourselves so that as a society we become better.
Yeah.
I actually cannot rule out the fact that sometimes parents can give you good guidance. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not exclusively like that, you know. So sometimes parents can give you guidance.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to be pragmatic. Sometimes you can be idealistic. Yes. And to just go back on that, you see, there are many factors that determine what career you're going to end up in.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, sometimes you have to look at the socioeconomic factors. Your family is there, and you have several siblings who are looking up to you, the extended family.
Mm-hmm.
You are the star of the whole extended family.
Mm.
And you're expected, now that you are the bright one, you're expected to really finish school,
yeah.
get a job and support the family. And sometimes there are those sacrifices that you have to make, you know. I think one of, you see, I'll still get to this, but one of the things that that is unfortunate in life, and that is life. Yeah, that is life. The worst thing you can do about it is sulk about it and begin to you know, just say, no, I'll give up. No. Life happens. Life happens. And when I say life happens, I mean, sometimes you know what you want to be. However, your family is in a situation where you are required to take anything that is available. So someone wants to do a media studies.
Mm.
And it will bring fulfillment to you. You know, I want to do media studies.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are no jobs in media studies, for example, mm-hmm. or it is not a lucrative career, perhaps. That's mm-hmm. how, that's the impression.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a headline came out in the newspapers, media studies sitting at home,
mm-hmm.
media studies graduates sitting, there are no jobs. So, and then next day you see, no, there are scholarships for marketing.
Mm.
What do? You have to be pragmatic. You have to say, okay, I have to take this opportunity. And that's the right thing to do. Because I'll say this. This is one of the best advice I give to people.
Yeah.
There's actually no right or wrong decision when it comes to this.
Okay.
There's no right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever decision you take because of the need, just go for it. Later, you can now take the other route that you always
mm-hmm.
wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you see a vision that, no, I want to become a media person. But then immediately after you finish grade 12, there's no opportunity. Get into something that's available. One day, an opportunity will come. Even after doing marketing, an opportunity will come and you'll be able to do media studies. And you can learn from my life, what I just said about what happened when I was just finishing off at UNAM.
Yeah.
And I had to go and collect water as a thing. I didn't say, no, me, I'm meant for great things. I'm going to be a pharmacist. I cannot do this. No,
mm-hmm.
I just took what was immediately in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And the advice I'm giving here is, when you are faced with such difficult choices,
yeah.
the best choice to make is this. Think about it and ask yourself, what is the next best choice?
Mm-hmm.
What is the next best choice to take right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So right now, if it is to secure my future by getting into a career these people are offering a scholarship and they will employ me immediately, take it. Take it. And then after you work several years, you are secure. You have some savings. Look at the other choice which you really want,
mm-hmm.
media studies,
mm-hmm.
and do that while you are working. You can do that on part time. After a few years, you get your degree in media studies, or whatever, and you can even start a media company on the side while you are still doing a marketing person at another company.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think I want to believe that whatever degree you do, wherever you end up in life, it will come in handy.
Yes.
Yeah. You will still need that foundation.
Yes.
It will still contribute one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really believe.
Because of what I said.
Yeah.
Which is that, you see, God is not the one who gave the titles of, you are going to be a marketer, you are going to be a media person, you are going to be a doctor. No, those are our titles. Your work in life is not your job.
Mm.
You see. Your work in life transcends your job. So whether you are in media or you are in agriculture or whatever, there is some work, some God-aligned work that you are still going to do, regardless of which career you are in. So a career is not something that you must now despair if you are in a certain career and just despair. No, that career is just a vehicle.
Mm.
So you must go beyond this life. If I'm allowed to say some of these things, go beyond this life, this, you know, my career, these careers will end, but the kind of work you do, spiritual work, it doesn't end. It fits into your life.
Mm.
So really, careers, whatever career you do, it is not the end of everything.
Mm.
It is simply a vehicle for you to sustain your life on this earth and then fulfill your God-given task.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Interesting. Very interesting. You know what? Let's pause here and take a trip to the marketplace.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora satime bari heri nola natu heri bari no heri ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bari o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
And we are back because we are joined in studio by Dr. Bonnie Singu. Dr. Bonnie Singu, certainly you taking the path of pharmacy and also being now a lecturer, all now merging up at the end. And I'm sure you did not think it will happen like that. Yeah. And I think that proves a point of what you just said now. At the end of the day, I think everything will just align up. Even if maybe, the foundation didn't start off exactly, I don't want to take away from your words, but yeah, maybe exactly, on where one wanted to be. Yeah. And I think also with time and with maturity and with age, we later on realize what we really want to do. For some, I think they get it very first thing from the beginning, maybe because of they know what they're supposed to know, opposed to those who don't know what they don't know. But then at the end of the day, eventually when they do realize it, there might still be an opportunity to actually align with the right career that they want. What do you think?
Yeah, it's correct. You know, I wish I would simply keep it kind of academic and, you know, but, this is who we are, and we believe in a higher power.
Yeah.
And we give all credit to Almighty God,
mm-hmm.
because we are here today because of Almighty God. And
mm-hmm.
there's no way I can run away from that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the facts. That's how I understand my reality. So really for me, you see, the career is more like deciding what clothes am I going to wear today to school or to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's simply putting on an outfit to suit the day or the events of
the
day.
Occasion.
But that outfit does not define you. A career does not define you.
Mm.
That you're an engineer does not define you. A pharmacist does not define you. You understand?
Mm.
You are the one who brings meaning to that career. You speak life into that career. You bring substance to that career. The career was, you were not meant for that career.
Mm-hmm.
The career was meant for you to use. You understand?
Yeah.
So people should not be so kind of confused and discouraged that no, they didn't get into this course or that course. I think the most important thing is for one to have a relationship with the Almighty, and know how to hear the leading of the Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you'll be able to understand the path you're going. So personally, in grade 10, when I picked up that book and I saw, oh, pharmacist, lecturer, which one? I can't seem to make up between the two, you know? And eventually it has turned out like this. It was the leading of the supernatural saying, this is where you are going to end up.
Yeah.
And the fact that I had to first come to UNAM, at that time there was no pharmacy school. I was doing science and the fact that I was taking decisions to turn down opportunities to study medicine, and the fact that I had the courage to say to my parents, no, I don't want to do medicine. I want to do pharmacy. Mm. And the fact that when I went to do pharmacy, I was so happy and everything worked out so well. And when I came back, I was given the opportunity to join the university, to be a lecturer, and it all came together. Mm-hmm. You see, all of those things are just showing you that whatever your station in life, it is not the end of, it is not the end of all things, just a means to an end. Mm. And the real end is the purpose of what has been put in your DNA. Mm. What God has encoded in your spirit life, in your life, when he put you here on this earth and encoded in your DNA what your assignment is, what person you are to be, where you fit in the whole cycle of life and history. It is all in your DNA. That is the end. Whether you're going to be this person or that person, God will make a way for you to be able to be at a platform where you can do his work, because his work supersedes everything. Mm. Yes. So, yeah, the career guidance you should take is that, yes, first of all, listen to the one who is above so that he can guide you. Mm-hmm. What is the next best step? Mm-hmm. Which route to take next? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you see, that's why people get into all kinds of things. No, I didn't get into medicine. I didn't get into I really wanted it. Yeah. And they get into depression. Why are you depressed? Yeah. Don't be depressed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't be depressed. Look into yourself and discover yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is your calling? What is your path in life? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some time ago, I think it was really long time ago. It was not last year. I think there was the other year. I believe when I interviewed, was it last year? Yeah, okay, nonetheless, when I interviewed a nurse, yeah, she is now a nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. Ask me what that is, but I'm sure you know. Yes. She has her own practice, like a doctor's practice. Mm-hmm. All along, she always wanted to become a doctor, but unfortunately, she did not make it to go and study medicine. And I think she wanted to study at the University of Namibia, mm-hmm. But then she didn't qualify whatsoever, whatever happened. But I think she had the right points. She ended up doing nursing, even at Delvecchia University. Mm-hmm. And guess what? She loved it. She enjoyed it. And now that she's a nurse, mm-hmm. she appreciates that. Wait, the door for studying medicine mm-hmm. never actually opened to her. As we speak now, she's a nurse practitioner. She has her own practice as a nurse. And I once asked her, wait, are you the first and only nurse practitioner here in Namibia? She says she doesn't know, but she's not heard of mm-hmm. another nurse practitioner as well. Mm-hmm. So sincerely, I bring this up because you say sometimes when people don't get in a specific field, they become all depressed, mm-hmm. not knowing that wait, there's something ahead for you.
Yeah.
You might just not be able to see it right now, but maybe you're just right where you're needed to be right now.
Yes.
But yeah, while we're still at that, let me please open the studio line for those who would want to call. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. That is 083-288-401. Now, Doc, when it comes to career guidance and maybe perhaps trying to educate the learners to do the right course, maybe even at university, I don't know if they have started doing it back then, no. Mm-hmm. Perhaps when the students are registering, also maybe just ask them, give them a sort of a questionnaire. Is this really what you want to do? Or, should you be given the opportunity to do something else? Would you do it or something like that? Maybe it's just to help them. Maybe that way we can help combat, the situation of beginning a course and dropping out and, you know, somewhere in second year or first year and that kind of stuff. And, you know, that type of stuff. Are we perhaps doing enough? And I know we're not. And I think, let me get from you. You, what it is that we can do more in terms of really guiding the learners to do the right or to take on the right course when they go to university.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. There's something I would like to add to that after I answer this question.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the best place for this is in high schools. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, when the youth are beginning to bloom, they should be able to be introduced properly. And I know the schools have a subject called life skills or something like that. This is the opportune time when learners should be introduced to career guidance properly. And I don't know whether our schools are really doing justice to this.
I don't know either.
Yeah, but this is important. And again, it's access. For example, in the rural areas, if you go to Kavango West, all those schools in the villages and so on, high schools, people who are really smart, but then they don't know that there's a career called marketing.
Mm.
There's a career called media studies. They do not know, you know. In Windhoek here, the resources are there. All the movers and shakers we see in the newspapers, they are easily reachable.
Yeah.
And some of them have gone to schools here in Windhoek, and the school can simply say, that one is our alumni. Let's get them and come and speak to our learners and inspire them, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's easier around here, but, for the villages, it's really difficult. But what I want to say is that schools should invite people to come to the schools. Yes, to the schools, more people to come and speak to their learners.
While you're there, and I think I want us to draw emphasis on that, some career guidance that are being done for the learners is that they pick the best few students from the school, from that school, from the other school, and they go somewhere at the venue. Mm. But then that's limited.
Yes.
We need to do it for all the learners, yes, regardless whether they are the best students theoretically.
Exactly.
Yes,
because sometimes you have an A student there.
Yeah.
But, really, someone who come out to really a successful person in society is the C student. Sometimes it works like that. So you can now leave out. Every Namibian child deserves this information.
And sometimes A students work for C students.
Yes, as they say. Because you see, these things are just vehicles.
Mm.
And I wanted to say something, an observation. You see, you talked about people getting into a course, second year they drop out.
Mm.
Or, as we all hear, every day you hear about it, people asking, are you in your 9-to-5 job that you hate? Do you want to do something that, you know, interests you and so on? Because sometimes you can get into a career that is not really what you want. Mm. And then, what does that do? What does that do? When a person is in a career that they don't want and they don't like, or doing a course that they don't like, and then they have to drop out. They drop out in this course, do another course or go to another place. Mm-hmm. What is it doing? It is making us unproductive.
Mm-hmm.
It is making our socioeconomic situation even more difficult.
Yeah.
So when a person is in their zenith, they're in their right career, like this nurse practitioner you just talked about.
Yeah.
And even myself, I am happy to say I'm one of those people who are really, really happy in my career.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in your right career, you are happy.
Thank you.
I'm not saying you are happy. Of course, you are happy. Yes, but as a person, you are happy.
Yes.
You are happy. And what does happiness do? It pushes up productivity. You see?
Yeah.
Yes.
And creativity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it is really, really important that a person gets into a space where they are happy. Because happiness pushes up productivity, pushes up mental health. All these mental health things we are talking about is because people have to go to a job that they don't like.
Yeah.
So that they can just make sure they pay their rent. Mm-hmm. They can make sure they provide for their children, but they don't like the job.
Mm-hmm.
Waking up Monday mornings to go to that office they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this, again, like I said, I'm very consistent with what I say. I said, your career is simply a vehicle. It is not the end of everything. It's just a means. Because you see, right now in the world, status quo, at this moment, you will see that voices are really coming out telling you, you do not need a degree. Sorry that I have to bring that up.
Yes.
But it's true. Mm-hmm. You do not need a degree, especially with the coming of AI. It is proving that you do not need a degree. I am sorry, I'm popping balloons now. Sorry, guys.
Man,
this is the truth. This is the truth. And how are people making a living? People are making a living, and even much more, through social media content, YouTube, and all these things.
And they are telling you, look, you don't need a degree to be able to do this kind of thing that I'm doing and afford a good life for yourself. Why? That tells you that being a medical doctor or this career or that career or that career really is not the end of, or it's just a means for you to be able to fulfill your God-given role.
Okay.
That is important. Yeah. What is important is what is inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand yourself, what is your strength?
Mm-hmm.
What are your inclinations? And that's why, you know, it's unfortunate. There are some children, some boys out there who are being forced in schools, and really what they want to be is a soccer player.
Mm.
And everyone is going to frown about that. And yet that is what they feel they can do. And if the person is happy to be playing soccer and the opportunities are there, we are availing opportunities for these children to thrive in sports, and they are happy playing this, they will be the best. They will be Mbappe, they will be Vinicius Jr., they will be Cristiano Ronaldo, and they will make a good living for themselves. And with that, they can influence the world. They can fulfill their purpose in life. So it's really, really important to understand that. You can be in marketing, or you can be in media,
yeah,
and still do what you are called to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important. The thing about the career is that at least choose a career that fits with your personality,
mm-hmm,
and your inclination, so that whatever job you are doing, you are happy and you can do the things that you feel the Spirit is leading you. I want to do this. For example, you see, the most important things in life, is loving your neighbor as you love yourself.
Okay.
Yes. Today I'm going to teach people.
Yes. Please do.
The most important thing in life is not to make a six figure salary and to have a big house somewhere in Windhoek or whatever. No. The biggest thing in life is love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are happy in your career, you are living, you are getting a good salary and you are happy,
mm-hmm,
you are able to do other things. In society, we have people who are broken. People who are despaired, people who are being held back because there's a child going to school without shoes. There's someone who cannot go to school properly without food. You know, they don't have anything to eat. There's someone with a mental health problem. There's a child who has Down syndrome. Now, with all the success that you have in life,
yeah,
you can now channel your resources because you are happy in your career. You have enough finances. You can now channel your resources to the social challenges that are facing humanity, which is really what the divine wants you to do, to build other people, to help other people, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to uplift others. But if you are just about the money, about your career and so on, you are not doing anything to help another human being, which is not how God intended things. God intended you to be smart and get a good career, make some money out of it, and then do God's work. What is God's work? Loving others as you love yourself.
I appreciate that. Now, Doc, the other day we had a very interesting conversation that I do appreciate. I would want you to bring those insights that you shared with me that day here. When we talk about job and work, and you drew a difference between job and work.
Mm-hmm.
So kindly go ahead.
Yeah, and I alluded to that again earlier on. So your job is where your career is putting you.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm a nurse. Your job is you're a nurse. You work at a hospital. I'm a driver. You are sitting in a truck or some car driving people around. I'm a footballer. You play football, but your work is aligned with your DNA. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your work is aligned with your DNA, and your work, you see, you have to put the career aside.
Okay.
And now you have to look with spiritual eyes and look at humanity as a whole. Because the next person to you is you. That's why you have to love them as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So your work is to make the next person better, to support humanity, to ease the pain.
With your work.
With your work. Basically, it is whatever the Bible teaches you, what Jesus did, all those things that we learn, all those things.
His work.
Yes, helping other people, you know, supporting, lifting other people, all those things. That is your work. And now you have to find your niche as to, okay, my own inclination, I like media, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I like media. How can I use my love for media to help the next person? Oh, I can encourage young people to study hard, to work hard at school. Mm-hmm. That's your work.
Through media.
Yes, through media. And that's what you do after 5 o'clock. 8 to 5, you go there as a nurse, you go and heal people, inject them there and do whatever you need to do. Marketing, you go and run around for your company, putting up posters, whatever. But after 5, you sit down and you say, okay, how am I going to encourage young people, to do well in school? Or how can I support these young people who don't have any food to eat and yet they have to go to school? Mm-hmm. Or what can I do about the children who are so poor they don't have any shoes to wear to school? Mm-hmm. Or what can we do about the vulnerable people in our society that are having hunger and they have no food to eat? That's what you do. That's your work. And those are inclinations. Inclinations. If you look within yourself, there is that very humanistic side of you, which is aside from the mathematics, aside from the chemistry, aside from the geography that you learn in school, the real you, the human, the spirit God in you, the link to the Almighty in you, that is your work. That is what you do. Mm-hmm. The career should just help you. Okay, here I am. I have to go to work, take care of my children and so on, pay my bills and so on. That is one aspect, but you must use that to help humanity, help other people, the next generation of Namibians. How do we support them and help them? That is work. Mm-hmm. That is spiritual. Mm-hmm.
If I get it right, in other words, when you're talking about work, you're not necessarily talking about getting paid for it. Of course,
no, that is your job.
Yeah.
Getting paid is your job. And that is why when you choose a career, you don't look at the money.
Yeah.
Truly, you don't look at the salary. And this is the mistake many people make, eh?
Okay.
You see now? I want a better paying job. It's okay. Or you are given an opportunity, this job or that job. People always go for the higher paying job, which is a trap sometimes. But the job that is less paying sometimes gives you the opportunity to express yourself more, which is more important.
To grow.
Yeah, that money can't do that for you sometimes. It takes away from you.
True.
Yeah. So your work is what you do aside from your job where you get paid usually. And in very rare occasions, your work is your job. You know, your way, where you go to your office and so on is your job. And that's where you find the highest fulfillment. When you've picked a career, you've looked inside of you, you've picked a career, and that career is so fulfilling because it matches with what is in your DNA, like I said earlier on. It is in line. And every day when you go to work, to your job, it's like going for your work. Yes. And that is why, where career guidance comes in. And that's where I'm coming from, trying to bring in this DNA spiritual side, which is really important. You can do it. You can actually get the right career that is matching your work. Yes.
Nice. This has been a quite interesting conversation, I must say. I have learned really much. Doc, now that we are coming to the close of our conversation, and I think I want to ask this question, for that particular young girl, young boy at the village who does not really have access to information, or doesn't know what they don't know, something like that, but needs to know what is out there in terms of career options, in terms of what courses to study. What is it that they should embark on to make sure that maybe they stumble upon that book that you stumbled upon? Maybe not specifically that book, but just to make sure that they know what is out there. What is it that they, because if they wait forever for us, maybe to speak about it, or if they wait forever for the teacher, whoever, the educator to educate them, maybe they will wait forever. So yeah.
That is a very difficult question to answer.
Yeah.
Because it's tricky, really. You see, that child is a child indeed. And whose child is it? It's our child. It's a Namibian child. That child came into this world not by their own choice. It was our choice as the Namibians, the responsible adults who brought them into this world. It was our choice. Mm-hmm. And even if, like it happens many times, that child is seated there thinking, oh, my parents are not speaking into my life about this, who should I tend to, and so on. Mm-hmm. We as the Namibian nation are one house. And we should be able to think about all of our children in this country, regardless of who they are, whether they are from this corner or that corner, and we come from that other corner, and we are not related biologically. It does not matter. Yeah. They are our child, the Namibian child.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not for this child to take on this difficult thing because they don't know how the world works. They were born into this world. All of a sudden, they must make this decision.
Yeah.
It is upon us as the older Namibians, the parents, who should give the guidance to our children.
Yeah.
And who should take the steps to bring the knowledge and information closer to our children.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when we put our children in a school, what the parents are saying, some of the parents also are kind of disadvantaged. They don't know what is out there.
Mm-hmm.
The school, the parents bring this child to your school and say, here is our child. We expect the education system to help them to a brighter future. Now, the education system must be able to fulfill their part, which is to educate this child, and after educating them, also inform them of the opportunities out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we said the schools should do more. They should invite people. They should make sure the career guidance is being taught properly in life skills at the schools. So, it's a system. The education system, the Ministry of Basic Education should ensure that every Namibian child has access. And we have so many well-to-do people in this country who come from the different corners of this country.
Yeah.
Yes, we should work through the universities, maybe, like, for example, UNAM has this alumni association of everyone who has graduated from UNAM
yeah.
or NAST or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they have the contacts, and the schools can work through this alumni association.
Mm-hmm. Why should you say it there
yeah.
at that meeting?
Yes, and why should they actually work through the alumni association? The schools themselves should call the graduates mm-hmm. from their schools and say,
yeah.
we know you, yeah. we see you,
uh-huh.
can you please come to your school here and talk to the learners?
Your social corporate responsibility.
Yes, and coming from UNAM myself as an employee, I know that we have capabilities of going to the different regions
yeah.
and spreading the word. Sometimes yeah. all it takes is just a tap and say,
yeah.
UNAM, can you come and visit our school? Or
yeah.
can you come and visit our region or our constituency or something like that?
Yeah.
We will be more than happy to make the arrangements because
yes.
that is what we are there for.
Mm-hmm.
And not only us, there's NAST and NTA and the vocational training centers and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is upon the whole Namibian house to work together.
Yeah.
And for example, me as an individual, I've taken up steps to go to schools
mm-hmm.
where I come from
mm-hmm.
and spread the word and guide learners. Another person who is somewhere in corporate world should be able to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just make all the money and drive the expensive cars and you don't think about your primary school, which perhaps is right now dilapidated. The learners don't have clean toilets. They don't even know where to go after school. They don't know. And people are just living their life. It's not about the life. It's not about the money.
Mm-hmm.
It is about helping the Namibian child,
mm-hmm.
supporting the person next to you, loving your neighbor as you love yourself.
And growing our nation.
Exactly. That's what it will do.
Yeah. Lastly, Doc, you are the Associate Dean for the School of Pharmacy at the University of Namibia. For someone sitting at home, okay, what does that entail? What is that title all about? Kindly get into it for us.
Ah, it's not important. It's just a job. So the University of Namibia has four faculties.
Okay.
And one of the faculties is the Faculty of Health Sciences and Veterinary Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
This faculty has six schools: the School of Medicine, the School of Pharmacy, the School of Dentistry, School of Allied Health, School of Nursing, and School of Veterinary Medicine.
Okay.
So each of these schools has a head, and so I am the head of the School of Pharmacy. I'm called the Associate Dean.
Mm-hmm.
The head of the faculty is the Executive Dean.
Mm-hmm.
So my role is to oversee the training of pharmacists in this country,
mm-hmm.
make sure that we bring in students who are deserving, who have the merit, the points, and the aptitude for it, who can really do the course, and also make sure that the training is of quality. Make sure that our students are taken care of when they are with us. They are motivated and they enjoy the academic life.
Yeah.
Make sure that our staff are also motivated and happy and have the tools wherewith they can do their job properly. Make sure that the training itself is up to standard and is at par with other schools of pharmacy around the world. And just make sure that we have a steady supply of pharmacists for our country and beyond. That's basically what my job is.
Okay. Can I ask this question? Please. Are you perhaps related to Simon Namesho, who is the spokesperson of the University of Nami? I'm sorry.
Why do you ask
am,
this
am
question?
Am I the first person asking that though?
Simon, if you're listening, there's a question here.
I've engaged Simon before. He was also a guest one time.
Yeah, so. Simon is a good friend of mine. Okay. We are colleagues at UNAM, but we are not related.
Okay, interesting. Okay, anyway. Doc, it's been really a pleasure having you also to educate us on career guidance. I've taken down some points in my head to say, okay. But yeah. Please go out there and make sure that this information goes back to your community. Want to start with you. Start with your social corporate responsibility so that others may follow suit. Mm. Yeah. But what are your few words as we close off?
First of all, I think it starts and ends with the divine.
Yeah.
It's really important. How you ended up on this earth, it was not by your choice. You just found yourself on this earth, but there's someone behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it will bring you great meaning if you know that person and you are connected to that person.
Yeah.
Yes. Secondly, it's really important to be optimistic in life.
Mm-hmm.
I should say that. It's really important because there are always ups and downs in life, disappointments, setbacks, all kinds of things that happen to you as a human being.
Mm.
But always look on the bright side. Always be optimistic. Never be, you know, don't look at the dark side of the happenings. Don't look at the valleys. Look at the peaks. Look at that mountaintop. Look at the people who have reached up there and say, I can be like that.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lastly, as I've been saying, please, let's love one another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Let's greet one another, Namibians. Let's show respect to one another as Namibians.
Mm.
Because these are the things that glue us together, make us more united. And I hope you've understood throughout this discussion, it's about the whole, the Namibian house. And when we are united, when we respect one another, as a collective, we can achieve better things.
Mm-hmm.
We can achieve greater things for ourselves and for our children.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's all I can say. Thank you.
Okay. Doctor, thank you so much for making time for us right here on Life Lessons.
Thank you very much, Nafa. I'm so honored to have been your guest.
Okay. And of course, there we had it from Dr. Boni Singu, just talking to us about career guidance. And of course, us using his case study, as something to lay the foundation on. And yeah, I hope you've learned something, and I'm certain you have. And of course, this was another episode of Life Lessons, an insightful conversation to get us to a position where Namibia is really thriving. Now, of course, this has been Life Lessons. We now end here, and I say my goodbyes. I'll see you again next Saturday. Same time, same place, same frequency, same radio station, and that is Eagle FM. And of course, if you would love to listen to this conversation again, please head over to our podcast session, download the app if you haven't already, or listen to it via the website. Stay tuned for other interesting aspects coming your way from Eagle FM. Good night.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Get up, you good for nothing lazy.
Morning, beautiful.
Oh, didn't you forget something? Don't forget the trash!
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go by yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the world.
You can run the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile.
You could be the hero. You could get the gold. Breaking all the records you thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people. Do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try.
Do it for your country. Do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the world.
Just be politicians, be preachers, yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers, be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers, yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
Y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music.